Welcome to this week's episode of Mountain Hawk Talk. I'm your host, Jenna O'Dell, a senior journalism major on the women's rowing team. And joining me today are junior Will Snyder, sophomores Evan McDonald and Hannah Vogel. And they're on the Lehigh rowing team.
Hi, Jenna.
Oh my gosh, this is like the team. I literally have been waiting for this one. I'm so excited because these are the people I row with every single day. And so, how is everyone's day today?
Better now that I'm here talking with you.
Oh, guys, stop. Me and Hannah are in a bucket together.
Bucket pair.
We'll talk more about what a bucket is later, just want to put that out there. So, just kind of starting off strong, why Lehigh? Evan, if you want to kick it off.
Yeah, I mean, I love the campus. The academics seemed great. And I was able to talk to the coaches and a few athletes before coming. And yeah, I went on a tour with a couple athletes on the rowing team. And yeah, it just seemed like a great fit for me. I applied early decision, so it was kind of like I knew I wanted to go here.
Yeah, and you and Alex Blazkowicz.
Yeah.
you guys went to the same high school?
Yeah, so we both rowed at, or we didn't go to the same high school.
Yeah.
But we rowed at the same club, Norwalk River Rowing. And yeah, he applied regular decision. And then, yeah, we both walked on. We were roommates last year. We're roommates this year.
So he followed you, basically.
He pretty much followed me.
Yeah.
Same with Max Resnick, who's a freshman. He also rowed at our club. And, I mean, he probably came here for me, too.
Yeah, of course. Like, you really just started the trend.
Yeah.
You're the trendsetter.
I'd say I was the trendsetter.
Of course. Yeah. And Will?
Yeah. So, I mean, this kind of goes back to when I was swimming. I swam from sixth grade up until senior of high school, and I wanted to continue to do a sport in college, but I couldn't really find anything. I didn't really want to keep swimming, so I looked to similar sports, and I found rowing. And at the time, Lehigh was also kind of at the top of my list for engineering schools as well as Drexel, and I decided that Lehigh would be the best fit for me. I talked with some of the coaches before coming here, and we had some great conversations, and, the rest is history. I mean, I love the campus. I love the academics. Love the people I row with. Love the people I have class with. And I couldn't ask for anything better.
Oh, wholesome. And Hannah?
Yeah, so similar to what Evan was saying, I had the chance to come to campus and meet some of the girls on the team as well as a few of the men's rowers. And I was initially just struck by, one, like, obviously how beautiful the campus is, and just how much everyone, like, really enjoyed being around each other. I could just tell there was so much love on the team, as well as obviously a very strong, like, academic school and being able to sit in classes. I just found the classroom environment to be so engaging, especially compared to other schools I was looking at the time, and that's, like, really what sold me. And I also obviously was hoping to continue my athletic career in rowing, and I wanted to be a part of a team that had, like, a clear vision and was trying to grow and develop. I wanted really strongly to be a part of that, and I think talking to the coaches and the girls on the team, a lot of, like, my visions for how I saw my athletic career going just aligned with what was happening at the program here.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I remember when I came to visit, it was during COVID, but I just, like, the size of the school was really appealing for me. I don't know if anyone else kind of had that same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely agree.
And, like, my mom, I remember, like, randomly, I think we were on our way to go to one of my sister's races, and we stopped at Ohio State. And my mom was like, the classes are going to be insane. Like, you're never going to meet a professor. Like, it's just going to be lectures for everything. And then when I found out about Lehigh and just, like, the size of the school and kind of hearing what other people had to say about, like, interactions with professors and people in their classes, it was just, I loved the idea of, like, having, like, one-on-one interactions and personable just relationships with your professors and other people in the classes, which I really liked. And so how did you guys find rowing, like, to begin with? Like, Will, you kind of talked about that a little bit, but for Evan and Hannah, you guys rowed a little bit in high school, and how did you kind of discover it from the beginning?
Yeah, so my neighbor, who was my babysitter when I was younger, but like later than that, he rode at Norwalk and he committed to UPenn lightweights.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one that told me about it. At the time, like, I was in between sports. I was thinking of doing track, but I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And then hearing about rowing, it just seemed like the perfect sport for me.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I tried out, and I really liked it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think what everyone's getting at here is there's a really strong, like, trend in rowing of it's, like, athletes from all different backgrounds, like, yeah. come in. Start rowing later in their athletic careers, which I think is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I played ice hockey like very competitively my whole childhood and into high school. And then I had an injury and I didn't really come back from it very well. I was struggling a lot to like find like joy in hockey anymore. And that's when I started really getting into rowing. And I just loved so much of like what it afforded me, a chance to feel like an athlete and to be competitive and to drive myself every day. I loved how much of it was directly within my control. It wasn't about talent. It wasn't about how long you had been playing. Like when I played hockey, kids started when they were like 2 years old, you know?
Yeah.
And it also is just, it's nice to have 2 hours of the day where your job is to just not think about anything and to get the oar in and pull.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I found rowing in a really hard time in my life. It sounds really sappy, but I just want to see how far I can take the sport.
Yeah.
I think that's what it means to me.
Yeah. Oh. And Will, you kind of talked about, so you were a competitive swimmer all through high school, and what kind of made you want to shift to, like, just a different sport in general?
Yeah, so actually, back when I wanted to start swimming, it's kind of funny. I was kind of at a fork in the road where I wanted to either start swimming or start rowing, because there was actually a club about 30 or so minutes away from my house back at home, and it just didn't really seem logical for me to, you know, drive 40 minutes to a club that's situated in like right in the Delaware, rather than, you know, drive 15 minutes and go swim in a pool.
Yeah.
Where I could, you know, get a similar workout. At the time, you know, I really wanted to swim, but, you know, after after deciding to not do it anymore, you know, I looked back at that fork in the road and I really, you know, started thinking about what if I actually wanted to try rowing, because it's very similar aerobically and anaerobically, and I just wanted to try it out, and I've loved it ever since.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I remember I didn't ever want to touch an oar. I was like so anti-rowing because my sister rowed and my dad was a self-taught rower. So he ran track all through college, played basketball, and then just wanted to do something different, kind of like you, Will. And he just went and bought a single for, like, no reason. And he just was, like, out on the water, like, teaching himself how to row. And I remember, like, being so little and, like, seeing him, like, fixing up his boat. And we were like, what is this? And then my sister started rowing after she swam. And then I started playing soccer, and I was like, I'm going to the U.S. national team. I'm going to be a professional soccer player, and I'm going to be like Abby Wambach and Alex Morgan, and nobody can tell me otherwise. And then I went to Head of the Charles in 2017 when my sister went, and I met Jevy Stone, who was an Olympic gold medalist. And she had her gold medal around her neck. And at the time, I was pretty tall. I was more lanky and, like, I was in, like, sixth or seventh grade. And she came up to me and she was like, are you a rower? And I was, like, probably 5'9 at the ripe age of, like, 13. And I was like, no, like, I play soccer. Because me talking to an Olympic rower, telling her that I'm a soccer player is really good. And she was like, you need to be a rower. And I said, absolutely not. And she took off her gold medal and handed it to me and said, this is what could happen.
No way.
If Jetta, this is a crazy so origin cool. story. Yeah. Oh my How gosh. Have you sat on this for so long?
I don't really know, to be honest. I've really been waiting for the moment to tell people this. And I literally was like holding her gold medal and I was like, no, I'm good.
Oh my gosh.
In my no head. Way, like Jetta. Well, obviously I didn't say that to her, but I was like, wow, this is crazy. And like, I was like, no shot. And then that next season in soccer, I got like a horrible concussion. And my dad literally was like, so you can have that happen to you again or you can start rowing. And I was like, oh, fine, I guess. And then here we are wow. 10 years wow. later. But that's my story.
Yeah, I've been waiting. Really, did you know really Head cool. of the Charles was my first race? My really? First rowing race. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I bowed for Head of the Charles.
Our origin story. Our origin stories wow. are crazy. But yeah, that's how like I realized like this is something that I could do. And then my first day of practice, this is also, I've been sitting on this for a long time. My first day of practice ever, I was a novice rower. And it's so funny that I can like talk about this with people, because if I like were to tell other athletes this, I feel like no one would understand. But I, novice, the first practice I ever went to was a 2K.
Oh, no.
And, oh, yeah, but I, like, didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing, so I just ripped it.
Yeah,
I went, like, a 208. And I was like, yay! Uh-huh. And my sister was like, Jenna, I think you just beat the top girl on the team. And I was like, nah. Like, I literally at one point thought I was supposed to be going up and down. Like, there's no shot. And lo and behold, I walk past this little group of girls, and she was like, yeah, like, APR, they went at 211. Everyone was like, wow, you did so good. And I was like, I did. I beat the top girl. And the next day, I was stroke oh of the gosh. Novice 1v8, and everyone was like, who is this girl? Who is this?
That's
I was like,
crazy.
Anyways, so that was my origin. But to you guys, how is rowing different from other sports that you've played? Because kind of as that I was getting at, like, not a ton of people know what rowing really is. So how is it different than other sports? Evan?
Yeah, I mean, I think especially in college, it's a lot different. Because in high school, we did mainly small boats, which I feel like is more comparable to, like, a sport like swimming or running or cycling, where it's, like, it's just like a cardio sport. But now in college, where we're rowing with 9 people in a boat, it's definitely a lot different, because it's just like so much of it is just working together and teamwork. It's a really big team sport, which, yeah, it's a very different experience. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with Evan. You know, swimming was I've played you know, swimming. Basketball, baseball, tried football a little bit.
Okay, football.
Yeah, well, I tried it for a summer and I was like, it's like I want to be a tight end, but I didn't really think it was for me. But anyways, yeah, so since I was swimming my entire life, I think that'd be a good comparison. You know, when you're swimming in practice, you're, you know, just kind of taking strokes and just, you know, seeing how fast you can go, but you're never actually looking at a clock.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in rowing, if you're on the erg, and for those who don't know, an erg is an ergometer or a rowing machine.
I always have to clarify that. Yeah. You know, the one with the fan and the chain?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But, you know, but with rowing on an erg, you can actually see, you know, what split you're pulling, how fast you're going in that, you know, in that current time. And it's, I think it's really cool because you can, you know, kind of gauge how fast you can go, or, you know, do steady state at this split, or, you know, with swimming, you can't really, I feel like you can't really do that. I mean, some collegiate swimmers might disagree with me or not. I don't know. But yeah, I think it's, definitely different, but it's a really cool thing to see.
Yeah.
So.
Hannah?
Yeah. I think, again, like Evan and Will kind of like nailed it. I just think there's no other sport like rowing. It's obviously, as Will was saying, it's such an intense competition with yourself and your teammates when you're on the erg and you're training and you're trying to get the fastest splits possible.
Yeah.
And the mindset that takes is so individualized and so competitive. But then you get into these boats and you can't be a superstar. There's no superstars in a boat. You know, like, if you're trying to row like you're the best one in the boat, you're messing up the boat. And it's just all about putting your ego aside and rowing with seven other athletes and coxswain, and I just don't think that combo like exists to like the degree it does in like any other sport that I've at least participated in.
Right.
I think it's like the greatest team sport out there, you know. It's like that's what it is.
Yeah. You really nailed it with like the you have to be able to separate like the You have to be able to separate the on the water from like on the rowing machine because they're so different. Like just the fact that that's like our way of like figuring out how much power a rower has and then applying that to the water is like so different. But I mean, it is what it is. but do you remember your first stroke on the water?
Oh, actually, so this is kind of a funny story. So back in freshman year, I was put into a mixed eight with a bunch of, some guys my class, some seniors at the time, some sophomores, and then we were just rowing it by sixes. But where my story starts is a couple of days after, I was doing supplemental with one of my teammates, Sam Jones, in a double. Never been in a double before. First ever sculling. And I had never rowed, everyone all at once. So, like, if you're rowing all eight at once, rowing all two at once. So, I've never rowed a double with everyone rowing at the same time. And when we start doing this, as we're going into the dock, we start rowing all together. And all of a sudden, we dip to port just ever so slightly.
Oh, God.
And my instincts tell me to put my right hand down as, thinking I'm going to catch myself. But I go into the water. I fall into the water. I'm like, my hand keeps going and going. I'm like, oh, no. So I just keep falling out of the boat.
Oh, my God.
And I went into the water. And
did Sam also go into the water?
No, he didn't go in. He stayed in the boat.
How did that even happen?
I was stroking, and he was in bow, and he had to row the double by himself. And Max McFadden, senior class of 2023, he towed me in, so I held on to his stern tip, and he just took me right into the dock.
That is so funny. I've never heard of just one person flipping out of a double.
That was pretty much like my funny story of like,
oh my gosh,
my first ever strokes in a boat ever.
I have a similar story actually, because I rode in a mixed double with this guy that was like 6'5", probably like 210, like massive, and I was just getting like, I was probably a sophomore junior in high school. And he had never sculled before, and he was a starboard. So he was just, like, ripping on starboard and, like, didn't really know how to apply pressure on both sides. So I was, like, and I was in bow. Why was I in bow? Like, I don't know. And I was, like, hard port, hard port. And then finally he just goes, whoa, on port, and we just both go in. And it was just, like, I've never in my life experienced, like, just that type of, like, woo, like, because he was so big.
Right.
So the fact that only you went in is crazy.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
It was my instincts. I don't know what else to tell you, but it was an interesting experience. And I haven't been in a sculling boat since.
Oh, we need to get you in.
But I know. I really want to get a double or a quad or a single. It's something I really, really want to do. Okay. I want to try it this summer. I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. this summer for an internship. And, there's a bunch of clubs down on the Potomac that I could potentially reach out to and, maybe go sculling, try it out and see how it goes.
Try not to flip.
Yeah, try not to flip, of course. That's the first thing in mind, but yeah.
Evan, I feel like you've definitely got a story.
I have a bit of a story. I mean, I remember my first day, like, we watched the safety video.
Oh, my gosh. The U.S. rowing safety video is, like, it is an iconic thing in the rowing world. And it's got to be.
High school rowers know.
It's the same for everyone. It has to be, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where they're all, like, falling over and out of the boat.
Like, it's like.
They get heat stroke, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Like, he gets heat stroke and he doesn't look like he actually has heat stroke. So you're like, is that actually what heat stroke is? And yeah. I feel like we need, like, an
I've never seen this video.
Yeah. I feel like we need to. We really need to watch this as a team. And just, like, really analyze it and pick it apart. Like, film analysis.
Yeah. But yes. That was definitely like scary to see because all these people are getting like hurt. I'm like, this is what I'm about to do.
Like ejector crabs. Like literally like.
Yeah. But then we went down and this was a development team. So it wasn't a racing team. And we were in a barge, which is just this wide like cardboard boat.
With,
the coach steering and we're all on each side. And we kind of just rode lightly. We were doing icebreakers, and we went and got ice cream at, like, a place on the water. I'm like, this is what rowing is?
Let's go!
I was like, my neighbor got, like, recruited to an Ivy for this. Like, this is great.
Think that, like, UPenn is, like, pulling over to the side to get ice cream?
Like, they go get ice cream. I'm like, this is great. But little did I know the amount of hard work that goes into it. That was my first day, so.
Yeah.
Hannah?
Yeah, I did not get the barge treatment. They reserved that for the girls who were a little bit faster, who they were more interested in, you know, developing a little properly. I got thrown in a single my first time ever. Only time I've ever been in a single.
Did you have the pontoons on it? Or?
No, they ran out of boats with pontoons. No, I was in a single with no pontoons.
Oh my God.
I didn't make it off the dock. Trying to step into the boat off the dock, I went in. It was late October, I feel like, in New Hampshire.
A little chilly.
So chilly. Sure. But I got back in and I kept rowing. And then I stayed in for a while. I was shivering and shaking the whole time.
Of course.
Yeah.
As one does after you fall into the river.
Yeah. And then I was coming around to, like, kind of bring it back towards the dock, and the entire, like, non-novice sector of the team was, like, on land, like, warming up for, like, their actual practice.
Yeah.
And I flipped again. Yeah, and, of course. Yeah. And then a friend bought me, like, food because they felt bad for me, it was okay, you know. But, yeah, hopefully I'll conquer sculling and singles one day. I tried to get in one over spring break and was too scared to move, and my my teammate and roommate Livy had to tow me back in with a kayak because I was literally too petrified to move.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I remember I went in my dad's single one time, and I rode on the Erie Canal at home, and it was over the summer after I had come back from Lehigh, and it'd been a while since I'd gotten in the single, and so I flipped in a canal town kind of thing where like people walk and like get ice cream and have dinner, and there's like a big restaurant, and I flip in front of the outdoor restaurant, and everyone is like watching me, like, and they're like yelling, "Are you okay?" And my dad literally is like on his bike, like riding next to me, and he's like, "She's fine, like don't worry about it." And I like, oh, it took me like 80 years to get back into the boat, and he was like, "Come on, we're waiting." Literally, we are all waiting for you to get back in the boat.
I think, though, that's, like, the fastest way to learn how to row. Like, especially sculling, at least. Because I remember at my club during COVID, people would only do singles, of course. Mm-hmm. And all those people that started rowing at that time really picked up on it quick.
Yeah. Because
you have to learn.
Like, you have to do it right or else you're going in.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Failure is what really motivates, yeah.
It's a great equalizer.
Yeah. And so what do you guys tell yourself during the hardest part of the race? Like when you are really just dying in the third 500, like what are your motivating words? I mean, for everyone that, just for like the listeners that don't know like what the third 500 is, like you're already 1,000 meters into the race and you kind of have this like realization that you have another 1,000 to go. Like you're in the middle, like you just have to, at this point, you have to keep going. And it's just like you've put your body through like max effort and you still have to keep going. And so for me, at least, like I just hope that like my mind is blank and that like I just have no thoughts. Because if I have a thought, then that thought could lead to like, ow. And like, ow, could lead to like, oh my gosh, my legs are like dying. And then like at that point, like my posture falls and all, then it just kind of like spirals out. But I just hope that my mind is blank. Like I hope for that.
Right.
So what is that kind of a universal thought, or do you have something that like really gets you going?
Definitely similar. I think what I think about a lot, but this is more before the race, is all the preparation we've done for this, because a race is so short. And if you think about all the work that goes into it before that, it, like, pales in comparison.
Yeah.
So I always think about all the work. But then, yeah, I think, like, just turning your brain off and just pulling. And obviously, like, you still have to, like, be in time with everyone and going well. But that kind of comes naturally. Like, you just have to really be, like, pulling and not really thinking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, usually my thought is, like Jenna, like you said, I don't really have any thoughts except, like, go until I can't go anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just put all, like, go all out, everything until the final buzzer sounds once you, you know, cross the 2,000 meter mark. But, you know, if I were to put it into like a word or a couple words, I would just say, you know, discipline and flow. Discipline, of course, you know, you want to keep going and, you know, make yourself keep going at, you know, whatever rate and however much power you're putting into each stroke. And then flow, you know, that actually kind of, I feel like it kind of ties more into like the technique and swing of and timing all that of the boat, you know, because if you're, if you have all that together, you're able to row very effectively and, you know, finish the race out strong and, you know, hopefully beat, you know, all of your competition.
Yeah. I think you've all gone at very good things, and I think about all of that as well. Another one for me is just, like, there is no choice, you know? And in that, like, again, like Evan said, and, like, you and Will have said, like, not thinking about much, just, like, loose, swing it out. There is no choice.
I just, like, love to think about the fact that, like, the people in front and behind you, like, it's almost become, like, a natural movement that, like, you all just, like, naturally are in time with one another. And it's just so, like, beautifully agonizing. Like, I love the contradiction of it. Like, especially when I first started, like, I never quite understood, like, how, like, it was such a beautiful sport to watch. But then, like, when you're in the boat, like, you're like, oh my God, when is it over? Like, it's just so contradicting in, like, the coolest, most amazing way. Because it's, like, so cool to watch. But then when you're in it, like, you realize, like, just how painful it is. It's like, who would ever want to do this? Us. Like, we want to do this.
Like, I agree with that. And I always sometimes go over the saying, like, it hurts so bad that it feels good. Because, you know, if you're seeing your teammates in front of you, everything's in swing. Everything looks perfect. Sometimes you get, like, this shot of adrenaline. Adrenaline of, like, I got to keep going. But this feels so good that I'm going to keep going and I could row for forever.
And sometimes when you have, like, the best piece of your life, like, you're not thinking about anything, but you're just feeling, like, how you're, the only thing you know is how good it feels. And, like, you, when you cross the finish line, like, there have been times where I've literally been, like, dry heaving off the side of the boat because, like, I was just subconsciously going as fast and as hard as I possibly could.
You don't realize.
But, like, you just don't even realize after a good piece. Like, it just clicks. And so, kind of going into my next question, what do you think makes a great boat click?
That's a great question that we're always trying to figure out.
I know, right? It's like, that's like the one big question in rowing. Like, what makes it click?
I wish I had an answer.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, I think a big thing, first of all, is chemistry. And actually, in one of my management classes, we were going over a bunch of case studies. And there was this one case study about the Army crew team. And, like, the 1V didn't have good chemistry, but the 2V did. And the 2V was beating the 1V in, you know, any sort of, you know, pieces they were doing on the water. And, you know, I really think that chemistry, that's an example that I could use, but, you know, I really think chemistry is the, you know, the root of, you know, everything in a boat. You have to be able to interact with your teammates well. You have to be able to, you know, interact with your coxswain well. And, you know, from that, I think there's also, you know, being able to, you know, row with the person in front of you. And then, you know, being able to hear your coxswain say certain moves. And then, you know, everything else just kind of falls into place at that point.
It's a lot easier to row hard when, you know, the other people in the boat have the same goal. And you're friends with the people in the boat.
Like,
you see boats sometimes where people are yelling at each other and not really getting along. And it's always the boats where everyone's close and everyone's pulling not just for themselves but for each other, where they move the fastest.
Right.
I always know that like animosity can be felt. You can literally feel when people like don't. I remember I had a boat in high school that like literally it could have been so fast, but we literally sat around my kitchen table and we had anonymous pieces of paper about all the things wrong that we did in the boat and how we can fix them. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
that is, and it was like two nights before Head of the Charles.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's, yep. That's
and
no
it was just like, you wonder why. And then throughout the rest of the week, like throughout the practices leading up to this huge race, like you could literally feel like this tension. Mm-hmm. And you can, like, I have a very strong like feeling towards like, you know, when there's that type of like distrust in a boat. And that chemistry just works when everyone is pulling for one another.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think the two biggest words that come to mind for me are trust and respect, which I think are just so integral to the sport. You know, we put ourselves through so much physically, emotionally, mentally for this sport, and to trust that everyone else in the boat has done that every day with you, and to respect their attitudes and their work ethic and who they are as people and athletes, it gives you a kind of chemistry and a drive beyond what it's like a the sum is greater than like the parts. Is
yeah.
that what is that? That's
yeah.
like a
yeah.
that's a
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
But
yes.
yeah, that's just
yeah, that's another really interesting thing about rowing. And I think there are some sports that, like, are similar to that. But, like, to the extent, like, what is it to the extent of how rowing, like, if one person is, like, doesn't trust the rest, like, what happens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But kind of, like, an off-topic question. But in the fall, we do 5Ks, and in the spring, we do 2Ks.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you prefer?
5Ks all day.
No, 2Ks all the way.
5Ks every single.
Why would I want to be in pain for 20 minutes when I could be in pain for less than 8?
Evan?
I think, all right, I'll say this. On the erg, 5K, just because I'm better at 5Ks.
Me too. That's literally why.
Me too.
I'm not.
Me too.
I literally, yeah. I could row a 5K. Like, I would actually voluntarily row a 5K on the erg. Like,
absolutely.
I would.
Me too.
I like. I think the music is better. Like, the music, like, that you, like, I get pumped up to is better. I think that, like, if you, I like them on the erg because if you, your race plan, I think, is more effective, for me at least. And I feel like on an erg piece, like a 2K, it's harder for me to, like, just be on for, like, the whole 8 minutes. Mentally.
Right.
Like, I think, like, I have a moment of, like, doubt of myself, and I think that's why, like, I get in my head and why I don't perform as well on 2Ks. And because, like, I don't know, I think on the water, being, like, brain shut off is a lot easier because I have that, like, trust of, like, everyone in the boat with me.
Mm-hmm.
But on the erg, like, it's just me. And it's a lot harder for me, but where on a 5K, I just feel more confident. I don't really know why. Can't really put a nail on that, mm-hmm. but it's taken me 4 years to try and figure it out, and I still haven't. So.
Yeah, I love 5Ks.
Yeah.
Actually, Jenna, like you said, going back to music, I listened to, I think it was a podcast, a rowing podcast, like about a week ago, and their guest was Justin Best. US
love
Olympian.
Justin Best.
Won gold.
Love that guy.
And yeah, he's great. And he was talking about music and how much it impacts him on the erg and during erg tests. And, you know, he times his music right so that, you know, whenever there's a beat drop or something in a song, he gets like a shot of adrenaline. And I actually feel the same way.
Same.
You know, like
I love this.
Like I actually have a 5K erg playlist set up so that I have, you know, certain songs at certain times of the piece. Actually, I did that my sophomore year, your freshman year, Evan. I don't know if you remember that. But I was like right between the women's and men's practices. I did it by myself, and I had my own playlist on there or going on the aux, and it felt wonderful. that. It felt so good. And that was, I mean, I PR'd that day, but it was, it just felt amazing. Wow. There's no other word to describe how good a 5K feels. And actually, I feel conflicted about saying, you know, 5Ks are better on the water than 2Ks, but
I get it.
Yeah. I think swimming has kind of conditioned me to become more of not only physically, but also mentally more endurance athlete. You know, like I used to do, you know, a little bit of distance swimming, but I mainly did a lot of sprint pieces. But in practice, we would do so many meters in swimming. And I think that's kind of conditioned me to, you know, want to love these longer distance pieces. And I love it so much.
Yeah.
5Ks all day long.
So I'd say like Alex, Max, and I think it was our high school training that contributed to this, but I think we're definitely better at 5Ks than 2Ks, both like on the erg and maybe on the water too, I'm not sure. But at the same time, just on the water, like, you can't beat a 2K sprint where all the boats are lined up.
Yeah,
nothing beats that. That feeling,
it's a different feeling though. Yeah.
That feeling is like something else that I don't think I've ever been able to replace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't really, like, in a 5K on the water, a head race, it's really cool when you're passing other boats and just like zooming through the course. Mm-hmm. But still, nothing matches like all the boats lined up next to each other being like head to head, just at it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so much, like, it's so scenic, too. Like, the fall leaves. And like,
yeah, that's true.
So pretty.
That's true. Yeah, like, we went to the head of the Housatonic.
Fall races are so pretty.
In Connecticut in the fall. That was wonderful, seeing all the fall foliage and being able to row there. That was really nice.
I'm so excited for your answer, Hannah. I've been waiting for this one.
God, I've been thinking. I like Yankin chain, you know?
okay, Hammer Award. For all the listeners, Hannah won the fastest 2K on our team, and we have this Hammer Award, which is literally like a plaque of on a hammer. Like, it's literally like, what are we gonna be building with this hammer? And it has her 2K on it. And would you like to share with the crowd what your 2K is?
My 2K is 7:12 and some change. Wow. I came in at like a 7:49 2K last year.
Like, insane.
Athlete
of the year.
Too much hype.
I'm like, I've
she
been...
Get, guys,
I've been,
she's kind of overrated.
Guys, I've been waiting for this answer. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, what makes your 2K period? Like, what makes your 2K?
Bro, I don't know. I just...
What's the secret sauce?
The secret sauce is that I don't know. I hit 800 meters, and I know I can do anything for 800 meters. We did all those pyramid pieces over the winter, like 800 meters, 700 meters, 500. I can do anything for 800 meters.
Yep.
So if I go out strong but not crazy, I hold it, and I get aggressive until like I'm at 800 meters, I just send it. And I just love... Like, I love high rates. I love just pushing as hard as I can. I love proving that I can do things that I thought were impossible for me.
Oh, my God.
I also think I have a chip on my shoulder because I wasn't super, like, fast on my team in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. I can tell. Like, it's different in my mind. Like, my nostrils flare a little bit. Like, my eyes get a little bit crazy. I never hear a song when we're 2K'ing. I can never tell you a song that we 2K to. Like, it's just me and the erg, and it's just me against myself, and I'm winning every day.
That's insane, but, like, in the best way. Because I think I've always struggled with, like, the mental aspect of 2Ks, and I mean, unfortunately, I rest on the idea that, like, for me, 5Ks are more comfortable, and I like them better. And for 2Ks, like, it puts me in a very uncomfortable position, and I get scared. And that's it, point blank, period. Because you also forget how short it is. Mm-hmm. Like, 800 meters in the grand scheme of things, 800 is such a big number, but it's literally 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not even. Like,
it really is.
Yeah. It's, like, you just forget. And so, in, like, after I finish a 2K, I say, like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm so disappointed in the fact that, like, I had 8 minutes to go as fast as I possibly could, and I know that I had more. Mm-hmm. Like, I know. But, like, I just get so scared of, like, what? Like, what am I afraid of, you know? So
the fear is like very real. And I think that's something that I've worked through a lot in the last year. And that's one of the things I love about the sport is that like I have to face fear every single day. But it's incredibly challenging. I will say, as a bit of a cop out, another thing I do like about 2Ks, less inspiring, is that I can convince myself that like if I go faster, it's over sooner.
No, that's true. So true. Though.
Like the meters just go away a lot quicker.
It's true. And like the faster you, it, literally, that's the point of it. Yeah. Like the meters go down faster if you go faster. Yeah. Like the boat wants to finish first. Yeah. And the faster you go, the faster it's over.
Yeah. Right.
But I just also want to say, like, Jenna, you are like such an inspirational athlete to me. Aww. And like, I hope you know that I have only gotten faster in the last year by being beside teammates like you who push me to compete with myself and with compete against you, but more importantly, compete with you to elevate each other and elevate our team. And it just like, it would not mean anything and I would not go anywhere without you. And I will always like, I will always look up to you. You'll always be my junior and my senior and my bucket soulmate.
Guys, I'm literally gonna cry.
Don't make her cry, Hannah.
I'm literally, me and Hannah are bucket soulmates.
We are.
The point, what a bucket is. Let's tell the world what a bucket is.
It's time to speak our truth, Jenna.
We are, usually in rowing, you have opposite seats. Like, yeah. So you have port starboard, port starboard, port starboard going down the boat. But Hannah and I are on the same side in the seats next to each other. So we're in a 4-5 bucket on starboard. And we both row out the same way. And we're basically married.
We are at this point. It's deeper than it's marriage.
It is.
Like, we're really good at it, guys.
No, literally. I think this is the best bucket in Lehigh rowing history.
Holy crap, we're getting a bucket.
Like, this is, like, insane. Like, I look at videos of us in the bucket, and I'm like, we're unstoppable.
We are.
What is the most powerful moment that you've had on a team or, like, with a teammate?
I'm
not going first. I got to think about this one.
So many years.
I know.
Yeah. No, there's just been so many times, like in so many sports too. Mm-hmm. But I actually have no idea.
I can go first.
Yeah.
So my freshman year, we at the Patriot League Championships, we raced really hard. And in the heats, we sprinted, and normally you don't need to do that. Like, we knew that we were going to grands and we like didn't need to, but we beat Bucknell in like the last like couple seconds. And so we kind of like went into the final thinking that it was possible to beat Bucknell, and we just like went in with this like, it, the boat that we had that year was just insane. Like, the mindset from like a lot of the seniors in that boat, like I've like Gabrielle Eliseo, Tori Dorn, Nora Campbell, like their mindset was insane. And going into the final, we just like had Bucknell like on our vision. Mm-hmm. And Bucknell ended up winning the whole thing. Just to put that out there. But we, for the first time in Lehigh history, we beat Georgetown. And it was just the closest we've ever been to podium. And like finishing that race, I'd never in my life had like the opportunity to like hit the water and be like, yeah. But like watching Georgetown finish like 10 seconds behind us and being 5 seconds off of Navy, like we were hitting that water. We were like, let's go. Like, yeah, we didn't beat Navy, but we've never been so close to them. Right. And it was cool to like literally have contact. So that was a really powerful moment for me to like see the girl in front of me like smacking the water and like being like, let's go. And I was like, yes, needed that.
Yeah,
I could.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, I'd honestly say the race we had earlier this season at Lake Nakamixon, dual race with Loyola.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that was a good race.
I think it's just, so we were down pretty much the entire race until the last 250 we were able to walk through. And just in my past, it's always been hard for like a boat to come together and walk through another boat when you're down. But everyone just like committed to it, and seeing everyone commit to that like at the same time and just work together to like have that sprint was just really cool to see.
Yeah. No, actually during that race, I was in that last 250, it was getting really intense because our boats started coming together.
Yeah.
And, you know, we started you know, hitting oars and hitting blades.
Oh, God.
And that's, like I was talking about earlier, like that shot of adrenaline. I got that shot of adrenaline, and I was like, we just got to walk through them as fast as possible and get away from them. And we ended up doing that. But my story, or, you know, what the example I would have is last year during ACRA, the national championship, we had the opportunity to go down there with the 1V and pair. And on our warm-up lap for the time trial, our beautiful Packer Express M-Packer got...
Oh, this is crazy.
Unfortunately hit by another crew, and we suffered some, you know, pretty bad damage to the boat.
Yeah.
And, you know, I couldn't row. A chunk of my blade was taken off.
Oh, my God.
A couple seats ahead of me, someone else's blade was fully chopped off. I actually had, like, this really bad road rash looking mark on the front of me from my oar going up and over. And then two seats behind me, someone else got nicked in the chin from their blade. And... Yeah, we had to row it in by fours or by, you know, like bow four or, you know, some combination of four rowers. And, you know, I think it was kind of a reflection point of like, wow, this, you know, something really bad could have happened. And, you know, talk about like, you know, right place, right time. But like I think all nine of us were in the right place, right time that something worse didn't happen to us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm very thankful, you know, to get out of there, you know, really unscathed. But, you know, we kind of bonded over it, that event. And, you know, we were kind of like, you know, let's do this weekend. Let's prove that, you know, we are Lehigh, and no matter what boat we row in, we can succeed and row, you know, as any other, you know, winning crew out there.
Heck yeah.
And, you know, we eventually got to the, I think it was like the C final of ACRA, and we got third in that race, which I think put us, I guess, in 12th out of 31 crews. Wow. 12 or 13 out of 31 crews.
Nice.
And, you know, I think it really just showed not only us, but everyone else that, you know, we are more than capable of achieving great things.
Yeah.
And you know, having our boat being damaged in a bad way,
yeah,
and being able to come out of it in the way we did.
Yeah.
So what comes to mind for me isn't like a specific moment or story. It's more that I've had the privilege of having a lot of really excellent coaches throughout different sports. And I think back, I'm going to sound so washed up right now, but like to when I was 10 years old playing ice hockey. And my coaches were Maggie and Lindsay. They were ex-Dartmouth hockey players.
Wow.
And they just, wow, like they had shaped me as an athlete in ways that like carry on today. They made us like a team. Like there was a lot of like individual conflict on the team, but they really like made us into something more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as someone who's really shy and fairly undeveloped as a player, that meant a lot. And they said one of the things they always said was, if you're going to make a mistake, make a big one. And I think that stuck with me and has helped me build a lot of confidence. And yeah, just the lessons that they gave me at such a young age, I remember they printed out this sheet of paper that was like the 10 cornerstones of being like a leader. I think they were both captains maybe when they were at Dartmouth too. But and I had that like paper on my wall for years and years, and I think it's still in a box somewhere just because I'd moved. But yeah, I really think the biggest thing that athletics has meant to me is like the people I've met along the way and how they've shaped me as a person. And the two people I think of almost immediately are Maggie and Lindsay.
Wow. What is something crazy that you've heard that someone has thought about rowing? Like, for me, it's been like the, oh, yeah, you must have, like, really strong arms. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Because that's all that rowing is.
I think I always hear, like, these extremes about rowing. I see people on, like, TikTok and Instagram either saying that it's, like, the hardest sport of all time, or people saying that it's, like, not a sport at all. So I think that's very interesting that, like, although rowing is very unique, I do think it also is, like, a lot of other sports and comparable in those ways.
Yeah.
So it's funny that, like, some people will always be like, it's not a real sport. And then people will combat that with, like, oh, it's actually harder than every other sport. It's
yeah.
Like, neither are really true.
Yeah, like where in the middle does rowing land?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I've gotten a mix of, you know, both Hannah's and Evan's responses in regards to, you know, that I row. But a lot of people I actually talk to kind of know what rowing, you know, have a general understanding. Like, oh, yeah, boys in the boat. I know rowing.
Yeah.
Like,
it's always what they associate.
Like, oh, yeah, I read the book, yeah, of course. And it's like, oh, you see the movie? I'm like, yeah, I saw the movie. You know, have a good day.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, a lot of the times when I say I row, it's like, oh, yeah, boys in the boat.
Yeah, it's either, like, they know nothing about it, or they know, like, a lot more than you think about it. And it's like, whoa, where, like, what?
Exactly.
There's, like, only two extremes.
Like, what is swing?
Yeah, what is swing? Or they, like, know, like, oh, like, buy a bow ball. And I'm like, how do you know that?
Yeah, like,
I remember, like, someone once, I was talking to them about rowing, someone here at Lehigh, and they were like, I feel like every rower in high school went to nationals, and that ticked me off because I was like, we worked so hard to get there. Like, I like didn't qualify. Like,
oh my gosh.
3 years. Like, we finally did it. And now you're going to say like every rower in high school went to nationals.
I never went to nationals, yeah, and I had a boat that qualified, and then a girl wanted to go to prom, so our whole boat couldn't go.
I've heard that story. Yeah.
You know, it makes me mad.
It makes me mad.
Yeah. Right. But what's a fun fact about you?
All I know is rowboat.
That is my personality, and that's what makes me fun.
All work, no play makes Jack a dull boy.
I do, like, a lot of video editing.
Oh, we know.
Yeah, Evan, we know. Makes the best edits for Lehigh Men's Rowing. Go follow Lehigh Men's Rowing. Best account on Instagram, by the way.
I did.
Okay, plug.
I haven't made one since. I have to make another. I made one like last year that the coaches posted on the main account. It's like, maybe I should make another one.
I think you should. I think we should do that.
I do that in my free time. I edit for YouTubers too, and they, so I make some money from that, which is good.
Oh my gosh, nice.
Yeah. Actually, kind of two fun facts about me, or two hobbies of mine. I'm a big car guy. A lot of people know that, but a lot of people don't really know about me is I'm actually a big Pokemon card collector.
Yes.
And I'm starting to get back into it because
Second podcast in a row that we've talked about Pokemon.
Really?
Yes. Wow. We need to connect the softball team and the rowing team on Pokemon Go.
Okay, absolutely.
Apparently that's a big thing that they do.
Yeah, but like everywhere I go, like I used to collect Pokemon cards a lot when I was younger. Like I have tins on tins on tins of Pokemon cards.
Gosh.
And they're, you know, there's some that are worth money, but, you know, there's this whole big craze now about these scalpers going into, like, Costco and Target, Walmart, you know, wherever they could find Pokemon cards. And as a, you know, regular collector like myself, I just want to go into the store how it used to be, go into the store, grab a pack of Pokemon cards off the shelf and, you know, pay and walk out and go and open it, see what I get. And, you know, if I don't get anything, I don't get anything. Just add it to my collection. But it's kind of unbelievable what, you know, these scalpers are doing to prevent normal collectors like myself to enjoy the hobby. So
yeah, that's crazy.
But yeah, Pokemon is a big interest of mine.
Wow, I didn't know that you were like so passionate.
And the video
about
games
that
as well. Oh, I love the video games.
Oh, wow,
so much fun.
That's
so
sick.
Yeah,
Hannah.
A fun fact about me is that I grew up on a horse farm.
Yeah, yeehaw.
In the middle of nowhere, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Yeehaw. I grew up in a village. We didn't have enough people to be a town.
Villager Hannah.
I just think, I was homeschooled.
I think those are both connected.
Relevant. Villager Hannah rode her horseback into town and went back home to get homeschooled.
Picked up a book on math from the library and brought it home.
Oh my God.
Couldn't read till the third grade. I was very, I am very rural, rural past, but I think that contributes a lot to my personality, honestly.
Oh my gosh. Well, I love that. So Evan, Will, and Hannah, thanks again for joining me here on today's episode. I look forward to talking to you guys again soon, literally at practice today. Be sure to like Lehigh Athletics on Facebook and follow Lehigh Sports on Instagram and X to stay up to date with all of your news on the Mountain Hawks. And thanks for tuning in with me along this athletics journey. And until next time, Lehigh fans.